Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Jonathan Braylock,
James the Third,
Drum Milligan.
What more can I say?
You know what it is.
Black men can't jump.
Yo,
what's up, people?
It is Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
I'm Jonathan Braylock.
I'm James the Third.
I'm Jerome Milligan.
And you know what?
What?
It's Christmas, y'all.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. What's another Christmas song?
Santa Claus is coming to town. Okay. Right. Santa Claus is coming to town.
What's that?
Banana, 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 banana.
Are you singing?
Are you going to sing it?
And this Christmas
will
be a very special Christmas for me. Oh, God, you've screwed that up.
I thought you were going to break it down to the Empire. I knew you were going to just, oh, my God, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, sorry. You got to really...
What's that Paul McCartney?
We
asking
a white quick one, too.
Feed the world.
That wasn't the
I don't know this. I don't know that at all.
Oh, that's like a bunch of rock legends
maybe
sing
that.
Oh, why are we just singing Christmas? What's the Hawaiian one? Like, Maluiko Waka or something is a thing to say.
Oh, it's Hawaiian's way to wish you Merry Christmas or something,
something like that.
I don't know. Everyone at home is like, this is terrible.
I'm so sorry for all of our Hawaiian. Do you think we have listeners in Hawaii?
Of course. We about to
guys,
party.
If you listen to us and you live in Hawaii, you got to tweet at us, at Black Men Podcast. That would be awesome. And then also, like, maybe let us, like, come...
Yeah, to Hawaii.
Yeah,
let's
come to Hawaii.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock.
Why are you singing that like you're Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Because I remember it from
from Jingle All the Way.
Oh, Lord.
Guys, all of those songs have nothing to do with this film.
You're right.
Hope no one of them was in this.
Was this Christmas?
This Christmas was in it.
I just assumed it was in it.
Yeah, maybe, because like it's like the most popular black.
While I was watching the movie,
it's so popular, in fact, that they made a movie called This Christmas starring Chris Brown.
Yeah. What was the Mariah Carey one? Mariah Carey.
All I Want for Christmas.
All I Want for Christmas.
Oh, right, because Mariah Carey is a little black, right?
She is black.
She's black.
She's half black.
Oh, she's half black.
Well.
I mean, I'm half black.
Yeah.
Wait, Mariah Carey is half black, though, right?
Yeah, she is half black, yeah.
Yeah. She'd be at the BET Awards all the time.
I know.
Be at the BET Awards?
Like, all the time, right?
Does anybody go to BET Awards?
I mean, I don't.
Shut up.
Do you watch
I've
it?
Never been invited to the BET.
Do you remember Will Smith host? Why are we... Guys, we're doing the Best Man Holiday.
Yes.
Best Man Holiday.
Starring Taye Diggs.
Hey, white women, you're welcome. Taye Diggs.
Morris Chestnut.
Woo. Twofer.
Terrence Howard.
Woo, you got a light-skinned one.
Harold... How do you say his last name? Perrineau?
Oh, you watch Lost? You know him.
I know. Yeah, he's from Lost. He's... Whoa! The guy who screams that in Lost.
I never watched Lost.
I loved Lost.
Yeah, Lost was great.
Also, Harold is in the Matrix sequels.
Yes. He's really good. He's in both of them, right?
He's in both.
The two.
Both sequels. He's not in the movie.
He's really good in those.
And then, men, we got Regina Hall.
Oh, yes.
My goodness.
Sanaa Lathan.
Oh, stop it.
Stop it.
We got Nia Long. We got Monica Calhoun.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Oh, in a very
and
wonderful performance.
Melissa de Souza. Now, I don't know her, but she's done a lot.
She's done a lot of movies. It sucked, man, because I'm like, yo, she's a great actress, and it's just like, Hollywood lets you pick one. You get one famous black one every 2 years.
You get one Halle Berry, and that's it.
You get like, you know.
So, The Best Man Holiday came out in 2013, I believe.
Yes, that is correct.
It is a sequel to The Best Man, which was a very popular hit, at least in the black community.
Yeah,
I think it made like $34 million out of like a $9 million budget.
I mean, and the Best Man Holiday was $17 million budget, and it made $72 million.
Yeah, that's incredible.
The director is Malcolm D. Lee. Mm-hmm. He also wrote the film. He's the screenwriter as well. And you know, it's very simple. It's just a bunch of friends are hanging out around the holidays. And some drama ensued.
Yeah, because you know, The Best Man was about Taye Diggs's character. He wrote a book about his group of friends. In the book, though,
had all these secrets.
Yeah, and basically, like, his best friend Morris Chestnut was getting married, and in the book, he tells the story about how he slept with his fiance.
College. I have a question about that because I didn't see the original. Mm-hmm. Did when Taye Diggs slept with Morris Chestnut's fiance, was that when they were? Because he slept with her fiance because Morris Chestnut actually cheated on his fiance.
This was years previous.
And the other thing I was going to ask was Taye Diggs with Sanaa Lathan at the time when he slept with his best friends?
No, Sanaa Lathan, you never see how they meet, but like in the first movie, she's there at the beginning of it, and then she's there at the end because she's not like
a big part.
Yeah, she's not like one of the friends. She's like his fiance when he goes.
Right. It's been a long time since I've seen that movie.
They give you a really good recap. Yeah. I didn't even look to see what the first movie was until after I watched The Best Man Holiday, but I followed The Best Man Holiday pretty well. The only thing that I wasn't 100% sure on was it wasn't fully explained that Morris Chestnut like cheated. It was like hinted at, but like it wasn't fully explained, whereas the other stuff was. But then I was like, "Oh, okay, I get it." I did realize that cuz they were like, they told Taye Diggs, like, Monica's character. This is going to be a little confusing when we talk about this, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's a lot of storylines, but it's not as complicated as it's going to sound in the movie. Oh, wait. Also, just Rotten Tomatoes, 69%. Not too shabby.
Yeah.
That's a fresh rating. Audience score, though, is 84%.
That makes sense. I feel like people that are watching this movie are really gonna enjoy, like just regular people watching this movie are really gonna enjoy.
And for those of you who are questioning, hey, why are you guys doing this movie for Christmas? Do you know?
Ain't that many black holiday films?
Holiday films. The for real though.
This Friday we at the next count.
So you got The Preacher's Wife.
The Preacher's Wife. That's the one I wanted to watch.
You got
but okay.
This Maybe, Christmas.
You got This Christmas. You got The Perfect Holiday with Morris Chestnut. Yeah. And then if you want to cheat, you got Trading Places.
Friday After Next.
Friday After Next, yep. What's that one?
It's a musical one with Queen Latifah.
Queen Latifah.
Oh, I actually really like that movie.
Yeah.
It's also something with Holiday in it.
Right, yeah. Like Last Holiday.
Last Holiday.
She has two. She has another one. Like I remember Last Holiday, but she has a music. It's like a, it's a church.
Is Joyful Noise
something? It's one more. Hey guys, if you know what I'm talking about, just tweet.
I've seen Joyful Noise, but I can't remember. But if it's Christmas.
Anyway, so I feel like for whatever reason. Sorry, let's go into first impressions.
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great. I don't know what I want to say. I mean, like it's
now when you say great, do you mean great for a Christmas movie or just like a great movie?
No, like I think I wouldn't put it in like my top. It wouldn't be on a top list, but I didn't see it when it was out in theaters. Right. So, and I like didn't go. Like I chose not to go.
You're like, nah,
after seeing it, I was like, "Oh, I'm going to go see the sequel to this in the theaters. I'm going to make sure that I go to see it because I enjoyed this one so much. The story was so interesting, and I usually don't like those movies, those ensemble movies where it's like we're gonna weave all the stories together, you know, like you know we're gonna follow all these. I usually don't like those kinds of movies, but I really liked this one.
Nice.
You know what, man? I remember texting you guys immediately. I was like, this movie's terrible. And like I remember, and the thing is,
well, how far into it?
I mean, like the first 15 minutes hurt me, but the thing is, any one of these kind of movies, 15 minutes in, I'm like, oh, this is way too corny for me to even get into. But watching it, I'm like, I really like this movie. And then at the end of it, I was like, why did I hate... I thought two questions after this. Like, why did I not want to see this movie at first?
Right.
And why did I automatically assume I was going to hate it? And the thing is, it's a question I feel like, and I put most of the blame on myself. I feel like sometimes, even on this podcast, we talk about black films or FUBU films in a bad light. And I'm like, is it this weird predisposed thing of like Hollywood, and I'm not going to blame Hollywood, but black films.
I think you can blame Hollywood.
I'm going to blame Hollywood.
I honestly think that you can't blame Hollywood.
But you guys see what I'm going at?
Society,
it's like this,
but
yeah, this thing of like this.
Hollywood
this,
perpetuates this.
This negative stigma towards black
100%.
Films.
100%.
I mean, that's directly connected to why I didn't see it in the theater.
Right.
Why,
right? And I agree. I agree with both of you because I thought, honestly, when my real first impression of this movie was, oh, this is the movie Tyler Perry keeps trying to make and fails that miserably.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's literally was my first impression. I was like, oh, this is the movie Tyler Perry, like these are, this is the, and the fact of the matter is Tyler Perry movies are so popular in just the, like, not that people have even seen them, but just the idea of Tyler Perry movies are so popular that whenever we see a movie with a black cast, like, you think of that. Now, it's not even Tyler Perry's fault. Like, honestly, I think we put too much blame on Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry is trying to do his thing. You know what I mean? Yeah,
we need other people.
This, I laugh out loud at Tyler Perry movies.
Yeah, so. There are some parts that are genuinely funny in Tyler Perry movies.
I don't watch Tyler Perry movies.
There are some parts that are genuinely funny in his
Until
movies.
Tyler Perry make a dark-skinned dude a hero, screw Tyler Perry. And if you've seen his movies, you know what I'm talking about, Tyler.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, okay.
All
right. No, but the thing is...
But what you're saying, I saw a talk... in like 2009, maybe 2010, with Malcolm Lee, who's the director of this movie.
Yep.
And he said something similar about Tyler Perry movies. That like, that, and I have said this in the past, but I don't think it has made it to the podcast, but I've said this on the recording. But he has said that like, that because of exactly what you just said, the popularity of Tyler Perry movies, that is what the upper echelon at Hollywood views as being black movies, which is why, and because they really can't relate to that, it's a direct part of what is difficult about getting other black films made, because they just assume they're going to be like those other movies that they don't get.
Because here's the thing. I think in early on, before Tyler Perry movies, whenever audiences would see a movie with an all-black cast, Hollywood and people assumed that movie's just for black people. Yeah. Now, they didn't assume the movie was bad. They just assumed that it was for black people and they don't have to watch it. Now, I feel like when people see an all-black cast, they assume the movie is going to be bad. Like, I feel like people assume, like, when they see an all-black cast and it's marketed in this way where you feel like it's a black, quote-unquote, black film, a FUBU film, they're like, oh, that movie's probably not good. But I would argue, take The Best Man Holiday, put it up against... The Holiday with, like, you know, freaking Jack Black and, I don't know, those people. Who, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. The woman they switch.
Take that. Put it up against Love Actually. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
The Best Man Holiday stands on its own and is arguably better. Than Love Actually.
I would agree with that.
And I actually like Love Actually. It's interesting because watching this movie, and again, like, starting off, I was like, man, I hate this. But as it started going on, I'm like, man, the acting... is so
the acting
good.
In so this good. Movie.
It's
the
so
acting
good.
Acting is so movie. Good.
And the thing is, and again, I'm gonna keep harping
so
on this.
Good.
It was such a thing. As like I honestly am ashamed that like this movie had to win me over. You know what I'm saying? Like
it's true.
It's like and the thing is, it shouldn't have had to do that. Like, I'm watching this movie like.
Because all the actors are amazing.
All of them.
And we know that they're amazing. It's not like, we're not like sitting back here thinking like, I've never heard of Taye Diggs. Everybody knows Taye Diggs.
Everybody knows Morris Chestnut.
Everybody knows Morris Chestnut. And Terrence Howard is an Academy
award nominee.
Yeah. You have Sanaa Lathan, who's been incredible in Love and Basketball and all these other movies. Like,
everyone
Neil
in this movie
Long
is great.
Has had so long, great career. You know, Regina Hall is amazing.
Oh, they're all doing, and not only are they amazing, but in this film, they're doing phenomenal jobs
and you know
as
what?
Well.
Yes. This film shows you not every type, but it shows you a vast range of black characters. Like you have like, you know, your social media chick who just wants to, you know, who talks about sucking dick.
Not just black characters, just characters.
Yeah, but the reason I said black characters is because, you know, oftentimes in films, and I know we talk about it sometimes, like you see one type. You saw us as humans in all different types of humans. It was like, you had Terrence Howard who was still like the frat
He's
boy
single
dude,
man.
Single dude. You know, you had Morris Chestnut, the God-loving man who cared about his family. Like, you had everything you needed in this film.
Right. Like, we have talked about this in the past in the relation, when we talked about Barbershop and how those characters to us seemed two-dimensional. We see a variety of characters of different I mean, obviously they grew up together, so they have a similar background.
Yeah, they're all middle class to upper class.
Yeah. But we see so many different people, and they all are black. And so we get to just see black people living. And thankfully, there's another film that also gives more dimension to it, right? Like, of backstory that we get to see people living, and it's really an amazing thing.
Yeah, and it's also interesting because this movie shows something that I think we do not see enough, which is strong, smart black women. Like, for instance, Nia Long is the woman who's in charge of a network who wants to change. And she's like, she has a speech. Like, when you first see her in the movie, she's on a call talking about trying to get diversity on the network. Right. You have the character that, you know, is on, which is on, was it Desperate Housewives or something like, or was it?
Real Housewives of Westchester.
But even her, who could have been very one dimensional, like, you see her like, yeah, she, it's sad she didn't get to do she wanted. You see her actually at one point care about her daughter, and you see her actually help out her ex in the end of the movie.
And
you know?
Did her character in the first Best Man, was a part of her history that she used to be a stripper as well?
She wasn't a stripper, no.
She wasn't, okay.
She wasn't a stripper.
So that's something.
Because basically that's in the little backstory, let me make sure I remember the characters' names, because there's so many characters in this movie.
So Regina Hall's character
is Candace or Candy.
Yeah.
And so then
she used to be
She used to be a stripper, and technically she was the stripper at the bachelor party. So he fell in love with the stripper from the bachelor party.
Right. Because we're talking about is Harold Perrineau, who plays the character Julian. So Julian in the first movie is with Shelby, who's this desperate housewife type, right?
Right.
But then she's like, she's really mean to him.
She's mean to him.
So he
she's
breaks
abusive.
Up with her and gets with this stripper, Candace, who's like a stripper, who's like the stripper with the heart of gold, a little bit of that archetype.
Yeah. But what I think is great about it is they really spend time dealing with what that is and what that would mean, right? So, like, we see everyone sort of like, we see specifically Terrence Howard making fun of it in this movie, right?
Like,
well, to me, the thing is, I don't think Terrence Howard's making fun of it. To me, Terrence Howard is saying, stop bitching, you married a stripper.
Right.
Like, he says, he's like, admit it, deal with it. He says it to him, well, deal with it.
Right. That's her history. Like,
that's her history.
It's fine.
Accept
it. It's what
you
it
can't
is.
Pretend like it's not her history, which is kind of like what this guy is dealing with. Which, honestly, that, to me, was one of the most complicated the storyline that I wasn't fully resolved. Like, I was just like, oh, I was grappling with it the most, because on the one hand, you know, basically his whole storyline. So these two,
he's a headmaster.
He's a headmaster of a school, and she's like in charge of like
admissions.
Mm-hmm. And basically the donor, they need donations. Obviously it's a private school. So one of the main donors says he's not going to donate anymore because somebody found a video of his wife online when she used to be a stripper and like accepting money for like sex, essentially. So like he sees this video and he doesn't know what to do, because one, he might lose out on this donation if he doesn't fire his wife. And then two, it's seemingly that he has like, he does have like a problem with the fact that his wife,
I mean, I
like,
think
took
any
money,
man
took money for sex, which is different than stripping, right? It's like, that's prostitution. So he's like, I don't know what to do with this. And basically, instead of going to his wife and confronting her about it, he's just showing all of his friends.
Which is terrible. But the thing is, like, for instance, Harold's character, to me, is like the kind, out of everyone in the movie, like, he is kind and he is the most loving, I feel like. Like unadulterated, like, he loves his wife. But it's that thing of, I mean, personally, I guess about myself, like, I like the person who like was dealing with me and one of my friends and had sex with one of my friends way back in the day. And that's some weird stuff to deal with, because it's like,
It's hard.
It's a hard thing to do. Like, absolutely. I definitely don't think he should have.
So
like,
I don't. That's what I'm saying is that I don't blame him for not going straight to her. And
he shouldn't have showed everybody.
He shouldn't have showed everybody. It but
got
also,
out of hand.
But all, and so, but so it was hard because at the end, like, I, it's better to just go through these storylines one by one and resolve them. Like,
yeah,
at
yeah.
the end, basically, she finds out that he's been showing people because his ex, you know, Shelby, this crazy desperate housewife character, basically, like.
Outs her,
and then they get into a fight because she still has feelings for, you know, obviously. So it's like this weird love triangle thing, even though they both have kids. And basically it resolves with one Harold being like, look, Shelby, I'm not with you anymore. This is over. I'm not your boo. Like, it's done. We're done. And Regina Hall's character, his, you know, Harold's wife, basically comes to him, like, after she kind of leaves and then she comes back. And they have like they make up and basically she's like, look, this is my life. Like, I can't. That was my history. I only did it once. You know, I need you to like support me. Basically,
in a very beautiful scene.
In a beautiful scene.
The way that Regina Hall says, I needed the money. Just in an exhale. Yeah. It's like it's soul crushing.
Yeah, but it's also that thing of like, and to me, and John, I think you said this when we first started. It's like, you know. Yes, these people are black, but these aren't just like simple black characters. Like, that's something that I feel like people can relate to. It's like,
right.
how often has someone's past come up? And it's like, okay, you know, you can't judge or hold that against them, but it's like, it does affect you in some way, but the two of you have to figure out a way to get over this thing.
Yes,
you know?
And I thought that this movie handled the nuances of that so well.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, just the way that Jonathan mentioned the love triangles and how they still have kids and how they don't really harp on, no one says, I still feel this way.
Right.
You.
No.
No one says that.
Never.
But you can feel it. There's a feeling in
there's
the
a
room.
Tension.
There's a tension when those characters that still are kind of holding on to their past when they're together. And it's so nuanced and it's so three-dimensional.
And there's these little like burps, like there's these little like moments where like Regina's like stripper past just comes up, like when she's dealing with Candace, Candace is embracing it, right? Because she's on a show where that's who she has
that's
to
who
be.
She is. Yeah.
So like she gets to just revel in it, basically. She's just like, what? And she like basically goes after Candace's character all the time, you know, like, oh, like,
yeah,
you know
Shelby
what I mean?
Goes at it. And the thing is, like, that's, I don't know, man, that's what you do when you got your rival with it. It's
right.
Like, I'm a poke fun at you.
So they kind of go at it a little bit, and people are like, and then it calms back down. It's like done in just this really great way.
I mean, that story was great. And I always think about,
the one thing I just wanted to say was that I think Candace, though, should have told.
Yes.
Her husband about that.
I think he shouldn't.
I mean, well, they've been together for years.
Well,
like,
you know
at but some
it seems
point,
like, but it
you
got
to tell your husband.
It seems to me, though, with that moment, it's one of those things that she is trying. She, at that point in her life, had already been trying so hard to push back and to forget.
Right.
Yeah.
You get the feeling that it only happened that one time, which she then later says.
Yeah.
And this is a part of what's so great about the writing of this is that that's how it came out. It came out because he somehow found out.
She was hoping he would never know. And that stuff happens. And the thing, too, is like it's interesting because if you think about the shot, for some reason, I'm really big on shots. If you think about the shot when she says, I really needed the money, she wasn't even looking at
She's
him.
Not looking
She's
at
not
him.
Even
I think
looking
that is such
at
a,
him.
It's, so
it's, such a, it's such a powerful thing. It's like, could you? I mean.
And she didn't even want him near him. Like, they are standing apart the room, like, so much that the director made sure you saw just how much space.
Imagine
so
what
good.
She, like, don't get me wrong, I understand, like, he's doing this, but imagine what she's going through. And she even said, she's like, I'm those girls' mother.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And she's like, I really needed that money. And, like, imagine what she, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's such a difficult situation. Like, I don't know if she could have told him. Like, there's certain things that I don't think I would try to hold to my chest and never tell my wife, like,
I mean,
for my past.
I don't know. That's debatable.
It's debatable.
But,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I guess the reason I brought it up, though, is though what Harold did was messed up, you can't blame him that much. And he didn't mean for his ex to find out. She just found out.
No one's at blame for anything, I don't think.
But you know what I mean? You can't blame him for like going to his best friends and being like, I don't know what the hell to do with this. Because like, that's a lot to drop on someone.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I agree. Which is why they come together.
All right, let's take a commercial break. We'll be right back.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit LGUSA.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Next relationship.
Yes.
Next one.
So wait,
we want to do
first of all, real quick though, let me just talk about Terrence Howard because he's kind of floating on its own in this whole movie. Terrence Howard is amazing.
He's so good in this.
Honestly, I was watching this, I was like, it's so funny because it's like, it's a little bit of a fluff movie because it's like this romance, even though it's dealing with these heavy things and does it really well.
Yeah.
But like, it's still a comedy. It's still like a romantic comedy in a sense. And like, Terrence Howard is like the comedic element, right? Because he gets to go and says like what nobody else can because he doesn't have anybody else to like, he has no relationship. So he can just be like, you married a stripper or yo, man, you need money?
Yeah.
Like, dude, do you need money? Just tell me.
Tell me.
The thing that's so good about that, though, is that his character was like, I mean, they say sum up your life in like three words. He says like money, pussy, getting head, which is like so crass. But there's instances with him and Taye Diggs, and he's like, hey, man, I'm your boy. Tell me if you need money.
Yeah.
And it's such a genuine thing. It's like he is literally like...
he says that, friendship really is a value that is in his life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whether he says it or not, you know it, like...
Oh, he cares.
He cares.
I mean, his opening line when you first see him, he's talking about, like, I don't know why these white people, like, let me tell them what black people like. We gotta take the N-word back. What's up, my nigga? And literally, that's how it changed. Yeah. He's like...
In not having a strong memory of the first film, I thought they aged a character like that very well. You know, where he seemed like he had grown up, but you can't...
He had more money,
but he like couldn't divorce himself from like that attitude.
Right.
Because they're all those dudes, man, who like, I mean, I'm a single dude, man. Those dudes who just live. And the thing is, I mean, if you look at him throughout the movie, he even says at the very end, spoiler alert, the whole thing is like he's about to get married, which I'm pretty sure is going to be to Shelby. That's my theory. And I think that kid.
Yeah, of course.
And I think Shelby's kid is his kid. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Only because, like, this movie ends the same way the last one.
It does hint at that stuff, like, where he's like, I'm not your mother. He says that to Shelby's kid.
Right. Yeah. And there's that point when he's at the funeral.
Crying, and the daughter goes over.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, he even says, I'm getting married. It's about time. Like, to himself, he's like, it's about time. Yeah. You know? And it's like, that's a nice arc right there to see the frat man. Frat boy
settling down, and then you have so we just talk about the Taye Diggs.
That's the main
storyline. So you have Taye Diggs and Sanaa Lathan, and basically Taye Diggs is this author who in the first movie, like we said, it was about this book, but it was a book about his friend's secrets and his secrets that does really well. It's a huge hit. But in this movie, he hasn't had a hit for like 3 years.
Yeah.
The book that he was working on for the past 3 years is a complete and utter bomb. Nobody's going to buy it. And so he needs a new idea. And basically, his agent is like, you should write a biography of Morris Chestnut's character. Wait, what's his name?
Lance Williams.
Yeah. So Lance, Morris Chestnut, Lance is this... one of the greatest running backs of all time.
Yeah, yeah. He's about to break a record.
All-time rushing record.
And so he's like, he's your friend. Write a biography on him. It's going to be amazing. People want to hear about a biography. And he's like, well, I don't write biographies. He's like, who cares? You need to get money.
Yeah.
You have no money. And NYU fired him. He was working as a professor for NYU, and he got fired. So he's running out of money. Sanaa Lathan knows none of this. And
she's pregnant.
With their baby. The backstory with there is that like they've had a miscarriage. So Sanaa Lathan had a miscarriage. Taye Diggs like doesn't fully blame Sanaa Lathan, but like does believe that she was part of it because she was working. The doctor said don't work, and so they had a miscarriage. And it's you don't really know if her working was a direct cause, but in his mind, it kind of is.
Basically, I feel like in his mind, it's just like, yo, we got to just do everything perfectly
everything
right this time.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a tough situation, too, because.
Oh, yeah. Know. And they deal with that so wonderfully.
So well.
It's not like, great. It's not, none of all this stuff, it sounds so melodramatic when you just kind of boil it down, but it's real life, and they're not doing it in a melodramatic way.
Not at
it's
all.
It's done so they realistically.
They don't linger on any. I've said this before, but they don't linger on anything.
No.
So
no.
You are just watching life happen.
I mean, they had a conversation, which was so crazy, just in the bed. And she's like, you blame me. You don't think I second guess myself?
Yeah.
You don't think? I don't think. I'm terrified to carry this
kid. I mean, if we had a woman on this show, she'd be going off on that.
And as a man, there's nothing we can do but support.
No. Yeah.
You know, like there. And the thing is, it sounds so silly, but in that instance, it's like you could just see that character, her character, asking for just that. She's like, I have to carry this. I know what it was like. I felt what it was like to lose the first baby. You watched it happen.
And like wrestling with this idea that like her body destroyed her child.
Yeah.
It's deep, man.
All the while she's at this reunion where technically Nia Long, who could be, you know, the question is that the love of his life, the best, you know, that's my sister, you know,
right.
is there. Who's powerful, who has money, who like, you know, who's
successful,
come after him before.
Who knows him more. So Nia Long's character in the first movie, and what's her name is Jordan, right?
Yeah, and the thing is, they've always had like this history, you know?
Right.
This history.
They've had this history. In the first movie, they like have a kiss,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
And basically, like Taye Diggs, like, it was like that coulda, woulda, shoulda maybe kind of moment. But then Taye Diggs goes with Sanaa Lathan. And so anyway, so there's still like that. That tension is still there.
Still there. And I, again, so well written.
It makes sense.
And then Nia Long has
like
the white boy.
And they both, it's still there. It's there, but it's not really there. Like, they're both looking at each other and they're like, oh, we know we share this history, but we both are like, no, this isn't going to be.
Yeah.
But the jealousy is still prevalent because you know the history.
Yeah, jealousy is there. You can see it in looks. You see how friendly they are together.
They know each other.
Because they know each other that well, and it's so good.
And the thing too is
yeah, screw you, Love Actually. Yeah. Oh,
honestly,
no,
screw you, Love Actually.
No, but
honestly,
because like you have
honestly
that.
Though. Honestly, because you know why? Love Actually is in the top 10 Christmas movies of like so many freaking lists. Love Actually is touted as one of these great movies. It's New Year's Eve, Valentine's Day. It's because of Love Actually. This movie does the same thing. It has a bunch of storylines, all these dramas, whatever, these really great actors. And it does it in such a great way, but nobody talks about the Best Man Holiday. Yeah, why? Because it's an all black cast, man.
Yeah.
Screw Love Actually.
Honestly, screw Love Actually.
I mean, it's just, I mean, when you think about it, it's just sad, man, because it's like, this movie was great. It was.
It's a really good movie.
And the thing is,
I didn't want to like it.
I didn't either.
I honestly didn't even want to like it. When we first started and Gerard texted me, I was like, yeah, this movie is terrible. And I started watching it and I was just like,
you're like, it's not.
I was like, I don't care about romantic comedies. I wasn't really that into it. Two, I was like, oh God, like all these storylines going to be melodramatic and all these things. And I literally found myself laughing at, I wasn't expecting to laugh. I found myself laughing out loud, being surprised, being awed by the acting, being like invested in these storylines.
You cared. And the thing too is, and it wasn't for, you know what it was? And the thing is, I do like Love Actually. But the thing
is, when I watch it,
it's like, that is it's fluff. Like, and no offense to that movie, because I do watch it, I own it.
Yeah.
It's very fluff. Whereas this had a lot of heart. The thing is, when I think about how it described this movie, I would say this movie had a lot of heart. You know what I'm saying? They cared. I mean, the instance that they could have, the one thing, Nia Long's character is dating a white guy, which the first time Taye Diggs, he cracks like a little joke, you know, which I do sometimes because my ex dates a white boy. And of course I crack a little joke. But when that white guy comes to the house, no one makes fun of him for being white.
Yeah.
They tease him a little bit.
It's not even a tease. It's actually a legit question. It's a legit question.
Yeah.
It's like,
and it's also,
you know,
you would rag on if it were a family reunion or any kind of family event, and then there's a new person there. That's the person that you
gotta
pick
check
on
the
anyway,
person. You gotta check the new person,
right?
See what their intentions
are. But yeah, they accept him totally. In fact,
totally.
Terrence Howard, like, at one point, while they're all talking, they have, like, this man conversation. Like, the men are all together and the women are all together. The men are playing pool. And while they're playing pool, like, Terrence Howard at one point is like, I like this guy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
To him, like, I like this guy. Like, he, like, they talk about their values and everything. Like, they just ask him one question. They're like, is Terrence Howard's like, so is this your first foray into the jungle or what's going on? Like,
yeah.
Basically, are you only dating her because she's black and you wanted to, like, just taste the, like, a black? And then he was basically like, no, I mean, like, look, I've dated a bunch of different women. Like, I'm good.
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or five-star hotels for two-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hi, this is Will Arnett. We are inviting you to follow us as we go on tour and we take our podcast Smartless on the road. Join us and watch any boundaries we previously had disappear. Like you've never seen us before, you'll see us on the road ordering lunch, roasting each other, and on stage as we surprise each other with a mystery celebrity guest in each city. Boy, that sounds amazing.
Welcome to Smartless!
Don't miss our new series, Smartless on the Road, streaming May 23rd, only on Max. Subscription required.
This episode is brought to you by the new Disney Plus original series, American Born Chinese. Based on the graphic novel by Gene Luen Yang, American Born Chinese tells the story of an average teenager that becomes entangled in a battle with Chinese mythological gods. This star-studded cast includes Academy Award winners Michelle Yeoh and Ki Hoi Kwan, plus Daniel Wu, Jim Leo, and Ben Wang. American Born Chinese, premiering May 24, exclusively on Disney Plus.
Yeah, and also the thing is too, you said that to protect your friend. Who is this dude? You know, it's like, no matter what color that guy would have been, somebody be like, hey, what's your intentions? It's just been phrased differently.
Right. Yeah. I would just say, like, real life situations, if it was like with my dad had, I love my mom's family is great. My mom's family is so welcoming and accepting. I'm interested to know. I've never even asked him. He's probably listening to this podcast. I've never even asked him, like, how it felt the first time he went to, you know, an all-white family.
Where's your mom from? Like, where is she?
Here, Jersey.
Oh, Jersey. Cool.
Yeah.
I say she was from
the
South.
So they're all Italian, Irish. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, I say that'd have been the South. He probably was scared. That's what that is.
That's true. That's definitely different.
Man, you'd have been in the
South. Or just upper class. Like, they're the same class. You know what I mean? But could you imagine, like, black? Like, so I wonder what that would be like. So you have the one black person going to this family kind of friendship thing with all white people. Like,
yeah.
You know? And you're going to tell me they're not going to ask about black stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, interesting, man. Like, I mean, most of my white friends will always say, like, you know, sometimes you have these conversations and people just want to learn and just understand.
Yeah.
And to me, that stuff is great. And, like, even in this movie, you know, the fact that they asked that white boy that one question is so indicative that it's never addressed about his race again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's like, he's just, based on that conversation, he became one of them.
He's one of them.
He's one of them.
And so much so that when the women are talking, they're basically telling Nia Long, Jordan, like, hey, so are you going to marry him or what? And she's like, oh, well, no. And they're like, why not?
Yeah, he's a
like,
great guy.
He's
what
great.
Are you doing?
You love him. Like, stop pretending you don't need anybody. Well, so that's their whole, that's her whole storyline. It's like, you know, at one point he's like, oh, sometimes you act like you don't need me, like, without skipping a beat. She's like, I don't.
Because it's that business savvy. It's like, I care about
independent.
You know,
it's like independent female. Like, but, you know what I mean? That's what she's going on. She's a strong, independent woman. And she's like, I don't need you. I don't need a man. But that's not what he was talking about. He wasn't saying you need a man to provide for you and all this stuff. He's like, partnership. We're human beings.
Right.
Both men and women. Like we crave partnership.
And
you
the
know?
Thing is, I think it's that question of sometimes you don't want someone to need you. You want someone to want you. Because the thing is, need is such a thing of like obsession. You know what I'm saying? But want is like a strong woman in particular. I feel like, especially this day and age, and we're all entertainment, like most of the women we know are very outspoken, very like proud of themselves. And it's like, you know what? I don't need anything from any of you guys. I am choosing you. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I am choosing to want you, and I'm choosing for you to be my partner.
Well, you know? I think there's something to be said about choosing to need somebody, too. Like, just in the terms of, because not saying that if they break up, like, she's going to fall apart. But there's something about giving your whole self to somebody and right. being vulnerable. Like, that's what, like, I think love ultimately takes, right? Like, if you want to really love and like commit yourself fully to someone, you need to be vulnerable. You need to let your guard down. And basically she wasn't doing that. She was like, that's what he was kind of addressing. He was just like, you're not letting me fully in. I could tell, like, I'm your arm candy. You're the good thing. But like at a drop of a hat, you wouldn't feel bad if I left, which means you're not fully letting me in. And it's like,
I think that vulnerability is something that's addressed very nicely in this film as it relates to Morris Chestnut's character.
Oh, my God. Morris Chestnut's character.
Who is so...
he's a man.
He's such a... He's a man. He's a man.
He's a man. He's a black man.
He's a black man.
He is a black
and
man.
And he... I'm good. He says, I'm good a lot.
Yep.
And his wife, at one instance, is like, she says... To Taye Diggs' character is like, I need you here and I need you to be there when I go. Because he's going to pretend, he's now pretending like he doesn't understand, but like it's going to hit him once I'm gone.
So basically, his wife. So Morris Chestnut, Lance's wife, Monica Calhoun's character, who's, what's the name? Mia.
Right.
Is dying of cancer. Yes. You kind of find this out in the middle of the movie, but she's dying of cancer. And they haven't told anybody. The reason that Taye Diggs first finds out is because she's like coughing up blood.
Yeah, and he walks in on her.
And he walks in on her, and he's like, oh my God, what's... And you know, she has to tell him. And then later, she like faints, and then everybody finds out. And basically, Lance has, you know, kind of put up this wall of faith, which is, oh man, like, as a Christian, I like could get into this a whole other topic of like how sometimes people use faith as a way of not recognizing or dealing with real things that are happening.
Yeah.
Because the fact of the matter is, you know, and this is what happens in the movies and kind of what Taye Diggs says at the end, which is like, I believe God has a plan, but I don't understand this. It doesn't make sense. This plan seems stupid.
Yeah.
And he's mad. You know, he's like, I don't understand this plan, even if I believe it. Right. And the thing is, Lance is basically refuses to believe that his wife has cancer. He hasn't dealt with it because he's just like, no, God is going to save her, without actually understanding, well, maybe he won't. And that's a part of the plan.
Right. And it's such an ambiguous thing. God, it's in God's hands is a thing that he keeps saying over and over. It's in God's hands. And what the exact result is something that he never says out loud.
Right.
You know, and we kind of hear the others dealing with that, but he is so removed from it.
But it's also that old school thinking of like, as a man, and I think you hit it too. It's like, and as a black man, it's like, again, I can't speak for every race, but I know growing up as a black man, it's like, you are supposed to protect, provide, and be there.
And be strong.
Yeah.
For everybody.
And if you're going to break down, no one can see you.
Nobody.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because that's not what you do.
Right.
You know? And it's so interesting to see a black man go through that. And you're like, dude, this doesn't need to be like that. Especially when people are like trying to help.
Can I get a little personal? Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my parents who are listening. But I honestly... I'm trying to remember, but I am pretty sure I've never seen my dad cry.
Oh, wow.
I don't think I can't remember. Here's the thing, though. I didn't go to when his grandmother passed away, my great grandmother. I didn't go to that funeral. Thankfully,
both of your grandparents,
both of my dad's parents are still with us. My mom's parents are not with us. But I can't. I'm thinking right now. Maybe I have, and I just can't remember it.
Yeah.
But I don't remember. And myself, I like I can count for you the number of times that I've cried in front of somebody.
Yeah.
On my hand, for sure. Like, yeah. not as a child, of course, but like as an adult. And there is that, and I've talked to my girlfriend about this, of like, I do, there is that feeling of like, I'm a man, I need to be strong for like the people that are in around me, you know what I mean? And so Morris Chestnut, like, I relate to that so much. He wasn't recognized, he wasn't even dealing with anything. The only thing that he showed was anger. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because it was like this strong, and it was a righteous
anger.
And it was a righteous anger, which is like that kind of God, like fearing, like, no, I'm right, you're wrong, and I'm allowed to be angry because this is a righteous anger. Yeah.
And it's tricky too, because it's that thing of, pride.
Yeah,
you know it's so much pride. It's pride.
The thing is, it was two different versions of that same pride. If you compare Morris Chestnut's pride to Taye Diggs and his money.
Yeah.
I think there were two different types of men going through almost the same internal, like I'm what, a man, I got to
provide
for
my family.
What
would it mean about them as a man. To admit any of
that
these
I'm
things?
Scared. What would it be this man to admit that I'm scared that I'm going to lose my wife?
Yeah.
That I'm afraid of what's going to happen, that how am I going to raise my kids by myself? How am I going to live without this person that I love? What does that mean? If I show weakness, if I show doubt, you know what I mean? And then for Taye Diggs, like, what does it mean as a man if I show that I am failing to provide for my family, for my baby who's about to come into this world, that I lost my job, that I can't do it. I need help. I need assistance from somebody else.
And
you know what I mean?
And these are grown men, too. I think that's
grown
the key.
These are grown men. Grown black men. Because here's the thing about it. The reason that I keep emphasizing it about the black isn't just because of culture, but it's also because of the way that our society is. Like, look, black people had to be dependent on white people for so long because of slavery. I mean, like, they were being oppressed, but they literally had to be dependent because, like, they were... It's just like, whatever you give me, right? Because like, they can't provide for themselves because it's been made that they couldn't.
Yeah.
And so a part of the whole black movement, civil rights or whatever, was like, we are going to provide for ourselves. We don't need white people.
And everyone and all of the characters in the film are very successful.
Yes.
And particularly in this relationship, Taye Diggs, Harper and Lance being, they used to be best friends, and Lance is like, in a mansion, you know, and having to deal with, I can't provide for my family, and I want to ask you for help. I want to ask you, someone who used to be my friend, and it just seems like such a heavy thing.
Yeah, it's. Just,
I mean, it is, man.
It takes a hit to your pride.
It does. Like pride can.
Another time when someone admitted something or felt very vulnerable, but didn't look at the person they were talking to was when Taye Diggs admits that he needs the money, and
So there are two, basically, we didn't talk about it, but there are two moments. One, Taye Diggs admits to Terrence Howard that he needs the money, and he cries. He does, and
he admits it twice.
And what?
He admits to his wife. He's like, I'm scared.
Oh, he admits to his wife that he's, oh my God, he admits to his wife.
He doesn't look at her either.
He doesn't look at her. And he kind of doesn't look at Terrence Howard either when he's like, I need the money. And he's like, and Terrence Howard's like, it's cool, man. Just call me daddy. Yeah, like, cracks a joke,
which is
so funny.
Which is good. That's what you would do to a friend.
And then the other time is at the funeral, as the cast is being, everybody else is leaving. Taye Diggs is kind of leaving, and he turns around and he sees Lance is just starting. Finally, oh my God, it was an amazing moment. So
that was the most dramatic moment of this whole movie. I was like, I didn't mind it.
His fist is being clenched. His fist is clenching, and then you see it like. Kind of just unclenches and almost shakes a little bit, and you see like he's releasing everything. He's releasing all the stress, fear, anger, sadness.
I got chills.
And then he just starts breaking down, just
slowly
convulsing, crumbling.
And can we say something about the director right
now? And
runs
over, and it's just these two black men. No, I mean, homophobia is so prevalent in the black community, right? Like, we just admit it, right? It's there.
Oh,
there's two black men who are straight. Hugging each other as he
falls
into
him, and they're on the ground.
But come on now.
Hold on, time out. I'll let y'all talk for a second. We got to give this director so much props for this.
Malcolm D. Lee, baby.
Because he did something that I feel like is never done.
I forgive you
when
for Soul Man.
It's like, we do forgive you for Soul Man. Come on, brother. Soul Man. But, and the Morris Chestnut acting ability, the camera on Morris Chestnut's face is there as he slowly breaks down.
Come on, man.
And the thing is, this isn't one of those like random TV cries. And my great uncle always talks about when a person sings, when a person cries, mm-hmm. their face becomes the most unattractive thing you've ever seen. Because at that point, they're not thinking about their appearance. They let everything. His face wrinkles up. It's like, oh my God, he's doing
it. And it's like, it feels like a crane shot. It swoops up. Yeah. And you can see Taye Diggs in the background as he's coming.
It runs. He literally runs back to his boy. Mm. And to me, and that's one thing I will say.
Holds him.
That's one thing I will say.
Holds him.
About black men, yo. Like, so much has happened, especially now, in the era we live in today, where, like, our lives are more threatened in America than probably any other race in America. We're shot so many times. But you know what black men do? No matter, they stand together. Whether you even if you think about, like, the low level of, like, oh, people, oh, gangs, black on black crime. If you think about that, that is still a neighborhood backing a neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? They're standing. Dude, that was a two friends holding each other. I'm not saying gangs. I'm not saying gangs.
I'm not going to condone black on black crime. But
no one is, but I'm trying to play devil's advocate because someone would be gangs. I'm like,
true, it's the gangs.
You know?
But yeah. Oh my goodness. Anyway, so that was like, woo. So yeah, but here, the thing we do have to talk about though. We got to talk about, before we talk about the swirl.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I have some stuff that I want to talk about before talking about the swirl.
Wait, can we talk about it before the swirl?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, one, I need to talk about the fact that there was this moment in the movie where a bunch of sex scenes are happening at the same time. And you see, it's like Taye Diggs and Sanaa Lathan. And all the men, and it was like more, it was eye candy more for women than for men.
Yeah.
Because it was mostly all the men with like their shirts off, like, like Taye Diggs looks great, right? And then you see Morris Chestnut and Monica. And then you see Terrence Howard like by himself
taking like, trying to masturbate.
taking a dick pic.
What is he calling it? He calls it something.
He did.
I can't remember, but he sends it to...
He's like a long shot.
Long shot, yeah.
And then sends it to...
Shelby.
But what I did notice very well was that the one swirl in this movie, you know,
Nia Long?
Nia Long with the white man, he left.
Yeah.
So he wasn't there.
So there's no swirl.
So there's no swirl there.
There's no swirl in the movie.
There's no actual sex. Because they showed all of these different sex scenes happening, but they didn't show that.
Yeah, I got something for that.
I want to say kind of relates to the swirl as well. I mentioned a couple podcasts ago about how I struggled in my writing, and like writing a white character for the everyman character. Mm-hmm. And I think it connects to Hollywood. We talked about how strong the female characters in this movie are.
Yeah.
But the reason that we need to make, and I'm all for the swirl because that shows equality, but the reason why we need to make more movies like this is because I don't think that we realize how much our types or who we're into relationship-wise are influenced by what we see media.
Oh, yeah.
I'm currently dating a girl. She's half Chinese, half Jewish, and have frequently dated white women in my past. And I think that it has a lot to do with just what I am used to seeing on television and seeing
and
on
growing up with
and growing up around a lot of white people also. But I do think that what's beautiful about this movie is that they show black people loving black people. I think that's a beautiful thing.
It is.
I think that we need to see more of these movies. And I think I talked about how we don't also see like other races blending together a lot. We need to just see people loving each other on films so that we can promote love around the world. You know?
It's true.
Like we need more movies like this, and we need more movies with swirls of all kinds, so that we can just educate each other that we're all people and we're all beautiful.
Honestly, every time a Romeo and Juliet production is put on, it should always be two different races. It doesn't have to be black and white. Should always be two different races. Always. Like,
it's funny you
I'm
say
tired
that.
Of freaking two white Romeo and Juliets.
It's funny. There's a theater house here in New York City which is auditioning for exactly that. I think it's going to be
No,
other, yeah, I think the public.
But I mean movies though. Yeah, no, yeah, theater has done it. Theater, I'm
movies
sure.
Have not.
Theater
keep, movies have not.
Theater keeps doing it, but yeah, freaking movies, come on now. Enough of this.
Yeah, movies, man. I don't know why it's such a hold up. I don't know why we don't have more female directors. I don't understand why it's, you know.
Let's get into this world.
Yeah.
There is a swirl, in fact, in this movie, though.
Yes.
Nia Long and her bae, as good people say. This is the funny thing, is that we don't see the sex scene, but it's referenced. Like, the morning he leaves, she's like, I was nervous. We're gonna wake up the house.
That's true.
So it's referenced.
But doesn't that make you even more like, well, why didn't we see it? This is a rated R movie.
Yeah,
this isn't even a PG-13 movie. This is a rated R movie.
And I'm gonna do this swirl, and this is where I've never done before. Actually, I guess I have, with a black woman and a white man. I'm gonna use Nia Long and her bae.
All right, here we go.
To me, guys,
that sex scene.
Oh, it's two.
Because that's actually this is one of the first times the swirl is actually appropriate.
It should be.
This is a romantic comedy, and we should have seen a sex scene.
We should have seen it. All right, and it could have been two scenes. All right, the first scene is after Terrence Howard comes up. Tay Diggs comes to the office, right? He comes to the office. Oh my goodness, you dating a white boy? Listen, hear me out. Like, you're dating a white boy, and she's like, yeah, get out. You know what I'm saying? Don't get it twisted. Because the white guy definitely knew this is the ex, and everyone knows when you are there with like your woman or your man, and the ex is there, you gotta show up. You know, you got your fresh suit on, you looking your best, you're here to prove. That white dude kisses her in the mouth longingly in front of Tay Diggs to prove a point, and that's for a point. That's a man thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh. She's with me now, brother. Mm-hmm. Get out.
Okay, I get
just to prove
that.
It. Just to prove it.
That.
Then you know what happens? I'm such a man. I have money. She has a huge office. You know what? We will have sex right here on her desk with the windows open for the world to see this swirl, okay? For the world to see. And you knew it just went down. So go on out, Tay Diggs. The second swirl is at the house. At the house, after the conversation with his boys in the basement. He's like, you know what, man? I date all kinds of women, you know. Like, I don't see race. You know, stuff white men say most of the time. Like, I don't see race.
You know, stuff white men say.
You know, he goes upstairs. He probably says something like this, my Nubian goddess. You know what I'm saying? He probably says something like that. And you know that woman to rub. Because this is a thing. This thing, women, and, you know, black women in particular, need to feel honored. You know what I'm saying? They need to feel respected. And that's one thing I think, for the most part, that black men have been slipping on, all right?
Yeah.
I think we've been slipping on that. I feel like we've forgotten who our queens are. And now, in the most of the world today, a lot of white men are dating black women because they're there for them. You know what I'm saying? While most black men are looking for, like, the next light-skinned girl, biracial, whatever. Not saying we're doing it, but they're doing it. They're doing it.
In this scene,
he goes upstairs, rubs her feet a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Turn on some Marvin Gaye.
That's what Morris Chestnut was doing, by the way.
He was rubbing her.
That has to be the sexiest thing any woman has seen. This huge, muscular black man with his shirt off, just giving her a foot rub and being into it.
You know what I'm saying? And you know, and this is the white man would have took it a little bit further, because he knows what he's going against. Because they even talk about she can't give up one of her fears, you know, big black, you know. He starts combing her hair. He helps her out.
What?
That's a deep. No, hear me out.
What?
See, you don't know.
Why is this happening?
It's so deep. He's showing how much he cares. You get a foot rub, you play in her hair, make her feel loved, then you romance her. I mean, if you go back to Creed. When I saw this movie, in D.C., and in Creed, he is helping her take out her braids.
Yeah.
Every black woman in there, started going nuts. Because that right there, a black woman's hair is so important to them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you a little bit of effort. And you know what happens? The white man end up winning. Ain't that some stuff? He got
Wait,
Nia
Long. Did you just end
Long.
The swirl with the white and man? And then the white man wins?
Winning. He won. Nia Long. We let it happen.
All right.
Well, it wasn't in the movie, so.
I'm very confused now, but okay.
Okay. Well,
Nia Long.
All right, yeah.
We lost Nia Long.
Okay, this is great. Something's been on my mind that I almost don't even want to bring this up, but.
What's up?
After Earth. I mean, is it good? Is After Earth good? Because After Earth What
How's it related?
You are ruining Christmas?
No.
Christmas?
Because After Earth is a movie about family. If you really think about it, it's a movie about family.
They deal with his wife in After Earth terribly. She's in it for like 5 seconds, yeah. And she's just like,
all right. What is the accent they have in that movie?
You know, it's future.
God, it's so dumb.
It's future accent.
Everything about that movie is dumb. What?
But I'm just saying it's about family. They struggle so much with Jaden and his
all
sister.
All right, man. Hey. So let's wrap this up.
Jaden has a sister in that movie.
Yeah.
He has a sister?
Or is it his... Yeah,
he does.
The baby.
She gets killed. She's like, stay. Right. It's his sister, right?
Yeah, not the.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, the baby died.
Like, stay here, and then the baby dies.
God, that movie is so dumb.
It's about family. Okay,
all right. It's time for the cause.
Ugh.
Okay, great.
You just brought up that bad movie.
I'm just wondering.
I know,
just a question
you
ruined
Christmas for me.
It's a question that I have.
I'm sorry, everybody.
It was in the back of my mind the whole time I was watching.
Happy holidays.
Spill a little bit of eggnog. For James.
Yeah.
Because he's about to get murdered after this.
So it's time for the cause. Of course, if you do not know, the cause, we rate movies not based on how great or bad we think they are, but how they help the cause of leading black actors or leading people of color in Hollywood. In major motion pictures. All right. We either give it a black fist, a white palm, or nothing. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Cheer.
Let me think about this for 1 second.
I feel like I know how this is going to go down.
All right. Here we go.
Three.
Count of traits.
Three. A two. A one.
I don't know. All right.
I hesitated.
You go first. Yeah. What?
All right. I hesitated. I gave it. Okay. We got three black fists.
Three black fists.
Here's why I hesitated. I hesitated because it really has nothing to do with the movie.
Okay.
It has everything to do with the perception of the movie and whether or not this really helped these people's careers.
Interesting.
I have a good point on that.
Here's the thing. This movie did really well. Like I said, honestly, I really did like Love Actually a lot when I saw it. I'd have to go back and watch it again. But like this movie, I'm sure if I compare it to all these other romantic comedies, especially ones around holidays and stuff like that, this movie is definitely one of the best. It's really good. And the acting in it is superb. It's amazing. It's great acting. Now, look, we didn't talk about this, but there are a couple of melodramatic moments. Them trying to deliver the baby in the car, a little bit cliche.
I want to talk about that also, too.
They had, like, the soundtrack. You know, there was a lot of, like, very, like, wink-wink kind of soundtrack moments. Like, so there were just some things that were done that I was like, okay, this is still a romantic comedy. It's not like breaking the mold or anything. It's still within the mold, but it's doing it really well. And it's doing it with an all black cast. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's just really good. So that's why I gave it a fist. Cause I feel like in terms of what the movie does to promote the cause, like I can go and be like, have you actually seen Best Man Holiday? And people go, no. And they go, well, watch it. And when you watch it, you'll realize black people are making just as good movies. And they're super popular. So how about you market it for all audiences and stop pretending like only black people want to see this. Everybody wants to see it. The way that they talk about, they hint at African-American culture like a little bit. But it's not that prevalent where like white people would be like, what's happening? They would understand completely.
Yeah.
They would understand everything that's being talked about. Also, personally, I like that they dealt with religion in a way that felt very respectful.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and like they didn't shy away from him praying and stuff. They didn't also harp on it either, making it like, you know, there are some movies that are purely evangelical, which we'll talk about that at another time.
Yeah.
But like there was something about that which I liked. I liked that he was a man of faith, that one of the ending moments was him like getting down and praying and like really not knowing what to do, you know, and trusting. So all that was cool. The only thing that I have to say though is that my man, like Morris Chestnut, is not known to the white community. I feel like outside of women who know that he is sexy,
yeah.
He's not the leading man that he should be. Because in this movie, he was amazing. And Taye Diggs, too. And Terrence Howard, too, actually.
All of them, because
they're...
Men.
Even Harold, because they're all really great. They're playing these different characters. They're acting well. It's not just their personalities. They're really playing nice, well-rounded characters. And they're not getting the only movies, and maybe it's the part of their choice, I don't know, but it feels like the only movies these people are in are movies with all black casts, and then for whatever reason, the movies with all black casts are put into this one demographic. So it sucks, and like in terms of that, I almost gave it a palm, but I didn't because the movie did what it was supposed to do. So I'm done.
You want to go? You said
you go ahead, man.
Okay, yeah, I gave it a fist, and I was ready to give it a fist after I saw it last night because this movie is great. It's I've been saying it throughout, but it's a movie about people being people, and these people happen to be black, and I think it's a beautiful thing. The melodramatic moments, I loved that.
Yeah, but you love terrible movies.
Well, that's true, but when There's parts of this movie that you can get ahead of them. You know, when we find out that Mia is sick, then you immediately look at Sanaa Lathan's pregnant belly and you go, there's going to be a death and a birth.
Right.
You know that.
Yep.
And you know it's going to happen at the same time. But when it happens, it's beautiful. It's great. I think it's handled extremely well. And I love that that Lance has to deliver the baby because now they both have been intimate with the other's wife in that way.
Yeah.
And I thought that was so funny, and they treat it lightly. You know, they
because he tries to make a joke.
I'm good with vaginas. I think that is so great.
So deadpan, man. Yeah. He's just like, I'm good with vaginas.
I think it's so funny, and I love that that gets to happen at around the time that they're trying to reconcile the differences.
The birth, if you remember, his daughter, Morris Chestnut's daughter, was a stillborn baby as well, came out feet first.
Right, and he has that memory and that understanding, which I don't know how successful a birth like that in the backseat of a car would actually be, but they...
But you have an even deeper connection with that. Yeah, it's like, their baby came out feet first.
So they have that dramatic moment when they pull up, they're like rushing, they pull up to the hospital, and then Regina Hall gets out and runs around the car and then opens the door and just like it's a girl.
Yeah. Or,
yeah.
I mean, it's just like, all right.
but he says it's a girl on the night that his
and it was still Christmas?
Wife has passed been away. not passed away, but has been at her funeral. And then I just want to say this thing. I didn't say it earlier, but about what you were talking about, JB, about the race connection and how people view this movie. There's a blog that I encourage everyone to go out and read on HuffPo. By this woman who appears in her black and white picture to be a white woman, Olivia Cole. And it's titled, Why the Best Man Holiday Isn't Race-Themed. And what sets her off is a tweet by USA Today that says, hashtag breaking, Holiday nearly beats Thor. So Thor, I think, 2 was out, or maybe that... Yeah, Thor 2 was out at that time.
Wow.
As it almost beats it, as race-themed films soar. So...
Wow.
Yeah.
And that was she, the...
That
and
was
who
the
tweeted
tweet
that
by Deadline? USA Today.
USA Today.
Wow.
And race-themed
race
film.
Race-themed. And she and
has
she,
nothing to do with
exactly,
race.
Exactly. And that's her and her whole thing is why are we saying it's race-themed?
Wow.
And she's saying exactly what you're saying. Why does a movie with all
why
with
isn't
all
it just
cast,
as romantic comedy
has a romantic
film
comedy film
source.
Source? You know, why does it have to be race? And I encourage you all to read
wow.
it. I didn't reread it for this podcast, so I can't give any quotes. And also we're at the end of it anyway, so I'm not going to.
Yeah.
But I encourage you to check it out. It's on HuffPo. Her name is Olivia Cole.
Yeah, we'll tweet it out.
Yeah, and you should definitely check that out.
I mean, I like this movie a lot, man. And the thing is, the reason I'm so quiet is
he texted it's just, us, I hate
yeah,
this movie.
And I think it's such a difficult thing because to me, like, this movie calls me to question myself. Because it did, because
yes.
like it was an all
deep.
Black film, and
it's
it was
deep.
Like, I immediately didn't want to. I can, right now, as I talk to you guys, I can think of being on the subway and seeing the poster and being like, ugh.
It and was, you know
I remember
what?
It
you
was dressed in all white, it had red, and it was like, ugh.
You know what's so weird about it, too, is that anybody who I know who saw the movie told me it was good.
And you didn't, I didn't believe
I
it.
I never heard people say, like, I saw it, it wasn't that good. Everybody who saw it was like, oh, man, it's actually really good. I heard a lot of people would say the same thing. They'd be like, they go, you know, Best Man Holiday is actually a good movie. Like, they would be, they're surprised
why
too.
And the thing is, like,
we're all surprised.
And people listening to this movie Listening to this podcast might be like, why are these men surprised?
I know. It's good.
Of course it was good.
The thing is, you know what? This to me is like, hey man, I'm not sleeping on black movies no more. Like, I'm not about to say like black films with the, like, if I admit it.
True.
Like, I used to say black films and be like, ugh, a black movie.
It felt like
belittling, because, you know, of course they don't call all white movies.
Right.
So it had this stigma to it.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing is, like, I played into it.
Well, yeah. You know what it is?
I played into that stigma.
The stigma, too, is that we think the movie is only going to deal with the black culture, and that all the jokes will be inside jokes, and that if you were white, you wouldn't understand it. You couldn't see yourself as a protagonist, therefore you couldn't relate to it. And
yeah.
It's such a lot. Like, I'm not saying that some films do, because I do feel like some films do that. And also, there's the idea that because it's a black movie, because it's a quote-unquote black movie, that it doesn't have to be as good. Because, yeah, like, black people just want to see themselves on screen, and therefore the quality doesn't need to be that good. And some films live up to that, like we talk about Tyler Perry films, but the fact of the matter is some films don't, but nobody ever gives them the chance to, or we go into it with such negative thinking in our head that the film has to be so much better. Black films are like black people, y'all.
Yes,
you gotta be better than everybody.
Yes, they are.
And it's so interesting, because like watching this movie, and Bray, you touched on this, that scene at the end when like Morris Chestnut is about to break, and his boy runs up to hold him.
Oh man!
And the thing is, like, whew,
I almost cried, but I didn't, because I'm a black man.
Like,
honestly,
yo, the thing is, like, man, that was such a deep moment, because you don't see that often. That's one thing you don't see. You may see like black men, you know, chopping it up, talking, dapping each other up, but you never see a broken black man.
Well, we talked
being
about it.
Held.
We talked
by
about
his,
it in Creed. That yeah.
Also, Keegan talked about, you know, Will Smith in Pursuit of Happiness. That's one
yeah.
of his favorite moments
yeah.
ever.
Because, like, you never see, the thing is, because we have to be so tough, because you know, black men or people of color, period. Let's say people of color, period. You have to be technically, quote unquote, better just to be comparable
right.
to a white counterpart. So, like, you see this man, this athlete, who now has proven his worth and broken the rushing record. He is now legitimately the best of his time in his sport.
Yeah.
Has lost his wife and has to be held by his friend. And to me, like, that's all you want, man. And I think that right there is past color. And I think this movie is so great because it has made me question how I view black people movies, period.
And in talking about this movie being past color, I wrote down all the references to race in the movie, and I realized that about 20 minutes in, I had stopped writing those and I was just watching people, because they only do like a couple, you know, they do the we got to get rid of the N-word joke, and then they make, you know, they make a couple about Nia Long and her man. And then like, I think Terrence Howard also makes like a light skin joke. And then,
oh, right.
Oh, to, on himself. On himself. Like,
and then after
know,
that,
I'm light skin, man.
We're done. You know, where we don't, they're, and
it's like the amount of times that's referenced is like, like, think about the amount of times like some weird niche, like, thing in white culture, not even, and I'm saying white culture as like the majority, but not even just white culture, like whatever, some nerd thing is mentioned in some movie, or
right.
like some, or a movie right. talks about some like weird like music thing that like only a certain amount of people know, and
yeah.
nobody sits up there and goes, oh, this movie is only if you belong in X and so category.
Right.
Never. Nobody ever thinks that, but you make three references to being black, and now it's a racially
themed
film?
Now there is race themed.
What? Bull crap.
Whew.
Woo! Best Man Holiday. Morris Chestnut, Tay Diggs.
Check
three
it
fists,
out, y'all.
Three
Check
fists.
It out. Seriously.
So, that is our episode. Man, guys, if you didn't
rent that movie, go buy
rent
that
it.
Movie.
Honestly,
yeah, you go buy it.
Honestly,
buy it, rent
watch
it.
Watch Merry
this
Christmas,
movie.
Y'all.
Merry Christmas.
Watch this movie.
Have a happy holidays, everybody. Mm.
All right, guys, it's time for some plugs.
Plugs,
plugs, baby.
that was your plug.
So,
that's exciting.
First and foremost, follow us on Twitter at Black Men Podcast. And guys, just follow us.
Yeah, just follow us.
Yeah, you know, tweet at us. Hey, you can tweet at us cool stuff, but don't tweet support for things that James III does.
Or continue to do that. Thank you.
You can also, we're also on Instagram. Black Man Podcast, and rate and review us on iTunes or whatever Android device you use. I don't know. Follow us on Spreaker, too.
Spreaker.
Shout out to Spreaker. Spreaker. For me, Jonathan Braylock, the sexy one in the group.
Okay.
You can follow me at John Braylock, JonBraylock, JonBraylock.com for show dates and some videos. And okay, so it's Christmas, but I'm trying to think of anything else that's coming up. Oh, yeah, that's right. December 30th. Yes. If you live in New York City,
cheer.
Come to the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater in Chelsea.
Yes.
Check out Astronomy Club Presents A Journey Through Black History. And that is at 9:30 p.m.
Yep.
Like I said, I believe it's a Wednesday.
Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday.
Wednesday, December 30th.
And you know what? Just stay in New Year's. You know, stay here, party in New York. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Get you a pizza slice.
You know.
I got Twitter now. Hollywood Reject. People keep tweeting at me. Cool. When people tweet at James.
Sorry. So we just spell just Hollywood Reject and we're good?
Yeah, just perfectly spelled.
Hey, don't do that. Don't do that.
No, I want
to.
Don't James the third me. Don't James the third me right now, okay? I'm trying to change the name. I don't know how to change it on there yet, okay?
To be fair, your name.
I don't know how to change it.
We make it fun of James. Your name is way more confusing.
First off, listen, I'm going to change it. I just don't know how to change it yet. Y'all know how to. Can y'all going to help me?
Nah.
I'm sorry, y'all ain't real. Oh okay. My goodness,
my
you go next.
Okay, jamesthirdcomedy.com at jamesthirdcomedy on Twitter and Instagram. Third, spell 3RD, baby. Boom.
Simple, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, now mine. Now mine is so bad. They made James the Third easy.
Yep.
Only by comparison.
I don't know how to change it. Hey, can somebody in the Twitter?
I think all you have to do is go to your profile.
I can change like the name that it says.
Oh, how
it still says drop M.
Man,
but it's like
talk about
bad.
This off mic.
Okay, all right.
Next week. We're ringing in the New Year's with a special episode, actually.
Yeah, man.
Yes, that's very special.
We're going to throw it back to, like, you know, our tops of 2015.
That's right. We're doing a year in review, 2015. How did it help the cause?
Yeah.
What were the top swirls of 2015?
Yeah.
Who were the top actors who aren't leaning in movies?
What are the top viewings of Hancock that I've had.
We had a moment.
That's one of the list.
Top directors of 2015. You know, we're talking about, you know, black ones.
Yeah, so no movies. No specific movie that we're going to be discussing, but we're just going to be looking at 2015 year in review.
Yeah, there
so,
was that time on the bus. I was on the bus and it was the DVD that they were playing Hancock and I was like, wow.
All right, anyway.
I was like, hey,
so when that episode comes out, tweet at us. You'll hear our list. Let us know if you agree, what you would have added. That kind of stuff.
Yeah. But we'll see you next week. Merry Christmas, y'all. Happy
Peace.
Kwanzaa.
Yeah, happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Hanukkah, but it's over already. So,
we going with Kwanzaa, though.
Yeah, happy Kwanzaa. Merry Kwanzaa.
Cheers.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.